Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%. APR, 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. 8.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
All right, hey, internets, welcome to the ROI of Y, your number one show about all things business as it relates to impact and purpose. I am Andrew Tuzon. I am the Vice President of Creative at Firespring. And as always, I am joined by my very lovely co-host, Angie Kubicek.
Hello.
Always good to see you, homie. How are you?
You as well. Doing great.
Good. You feeling good today?
Feeling great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We are still at the New More Good Conference.
We are.
Which has just been an amazing experience.
It has really kind of shifted some of my thoughts this week.
Yeah.
So
I think
a lot of homework.
The conference as a whole is having that effect on a lot of people, but more specifically, the conversations that we've been like so lucky to have in a one-on-one setting.
Yeah.
Like these brains that we're picking, like there's a lot of good stuff in there.
There's a ton of good info, but then it's just, I still kind of am reeling from this like community effect of it. And so it's not just like, oh, it has to be this one industry or this one type of leader, but it really is something that can thread through so many different industries, and it's kind of inspiring to see that people aren't being limited or shoehorned by, oh, I fit in this one bucket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, industries, but then also like the individual behind it too, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about leadership. We've talked about individuals. We've talked about like it cascades throughout everything. Like it's
very meaningful.
Within the fabric of who we are.
Yeah.
Just figuring out how to like tap into it, right?
Yeah, and we'd be remiss if we didn't say the Do More Good Conference is kind of the sponsor of the podcast.
Yeah, 100%.
Appreciate them and supporting us and allowing us to do our thing.
Yeah. And if you guys aren't familiar with the Do More Good Conference, make sure that you hop onto their website, domoregoodconference.com. Learn more about what we're talking about. Check out the speaker roster. It is just full of hitters. Figure out how you can get involved as a partner if you know that's a calling that's happening in your life right now. I think that's
hopefully,
a great place to start.
Yeah.
Right? So today's episode is going to be super intriguing.
Yes.
For many reasons, right? Uh-huh. We have Brandon and Tammy Day joining us. These two own Daycos.
Yeah.
I think that what I'm really excited to dig into, you know, always like to learn about like the impact that people are like bringing to the world, what drives them to do that. But I always like when you have like the two people working together scenario, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, so Angie and I working at Firespring, like that is the scenario. We have, you know, our CEO Jay and his wife Tanya, and you know, they're very plugged into the organization, and you just see that like love and mentality of love like cascade through the office and the agency. And
yes,
I always like exploring that facet of it as well.
Yeah. So you guys had a very fun dynamic yesterday on stage. So I'm pretty excited to unpack that in here.
Well, let's just like dive right in.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's do it.
Thank
Welcome.
You guys so much for
you.
Joining us today.
Thank
this
you.
Is going to be awesome.
We're excited to be here.
How's like the first day and a half of Do More Good been to you?
Good.
Yeah.
I think it's for us, we're located in Norfolk, which is a rural community, you know, a couple hours from Lincoln and Omaha. And it seems like at times we're sort of on an island there because the prevalence of this effort hasn't quite reached the rural areas like we
mm-hmm.
hoped it would.
Mm-hmm.
So coming here and being surrounded by people who think the way about business that we do and can share stories and get ideas from is really reinvigorating and recharging for
mm-hmm.
us.
Yeah, anytime you can put yourself in a room with like-minded individuals, like that's infectious in a good way, right? Like that energy just like compounds.
Yes.
It feels good and it's inspiring.
Yes.
So. That's awesome. So let's kind of dig into who you guys are, right? So for our listeners across the globe that maybe aren't familiar with Daycos, just tell us who you are. What's your story? What got you to this moment today?
Go ahead.
This will be the problem
yes.
with the husband and wife team.
We're all trying to be super nice to the other person.
Yeah,
no,
so we're never.
Do it, honey. No, just get cutthroat. Let's just. No, okay.
Well,
no.
You know, you
no,
talked about
this
it.
Is traditionally your piece. Like, who is Daycos? I think is your piece.
Okay. I'll do my piece.
Okay.
Do your ask part. Foundation, we'll flag it to you, right?
Okay,
you
sure,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Dacos is a family business. It was started 40 years ago in the basement of my family's home by my parents. And I worked in the business at that time as a six-year-old and sort of grew up with this family business.
On the books or off the books?
I got paid. I was the mail boy at the time. So awesome. I got paid for each sort of pack of envelopes I sent out. So I'm guessing it was probably off the books.
That's okay.
I was getting paid like a nickel a stack of mail or something. So I don't remember filing any 1099 forms.
No official documentation.
No paper trail. I think the statute of limitations of that's run out. That was 1978. Yeah, so we're okay.
We haven't had a lot of like IRS feedback in the comments.
Yeah, we should be good.
We'll be good.
What Dacos does is we provide revenue-related services to trucking companies. We do things like billing and collections and audit. We specialize in moving companies. We specialize in doing helping them with government contract billing. It's a very specialized niche business. Mm-hmm. We're the only business like it anywhere in the world.
Oh, really?
That does what we do. And so we are located in Norfolk, Nebraska, sort of by an accident of my mother's birth. The business was started in the DC area. And she said, I grew up in Norfolk. We could do this business anywhere. Let's go back there and do it. It's been one of the big reasons for our success being in that great community. Mm-hmm. But we still consider it a family business. Tammy and I are the owners now, and we're the only family members involved. But it still has that same feel. We have 60 employees.
60. Wow. And they all in Norfolk then?
Pretty much. We have a couple of remote salespeople.
Let's just get that on the record now.
It is Norfolk.
Yes. Fork.
That's what did I say?
Do you want to hear the story?
It's a Nebraska debate. It is like one of the most heated conversations I think I've been in a while was the correct pronunciation.
I missed that subreddit.
So when the community was formed and they sent in their filing for the post office, it's located on the North Fork of the Elkhorn River. So they wrote Norfolk, and the people back east thought, they must mean Norfolk, like Norfolk, Virginia, changed the name. Well, people still continued to pronounce it Norfolk. So my parents are from there. So I grew up only knowing it by sound, so Norfolk. So you can kind of tell who's from Norfolk and who's not.
To not be like called out, it's Norfolk.
Yeah, you want to say Norfolk, I think.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's like, you're an outsider.
Be part of the cool kids.
Get out of here. And that's why we don't assume kids, right?
So we will say Norfolk.
Gotcha. Just have to get it on the record.
Yeah.
Right?
Good. So you guys are in Norfolk.
Yep.
See what I did there?
Yep. There you go.
And there's nobody in your space, right? You guys are just monopolizing it and doing, like, that's amazing when you can niche out like
that. Yeah, we're an outsourced firm, so companies can do it themselves.
But sure.
Yeah.
And so, like, what's your market reach look like? Are you guys global? Are you regional? Everything in between? Tell me a little bit about that.
We are national, primarily. Mm-hmm. So we represent about 800 to 900 different transportation trucking companies, mostly located in the United States, mostly on the coast, large urban, central areas. We have a few international customers. We do a lot of work internationally because we're managing the financial transactions for international movements as well. So we're working with people all over the globe every day getting certain things approved, but the customer base is primarily a national one.
That's awesome. And 40 years in business, you said, right?
Just celebrated 40 years in December of last year.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah,
so this started out with your parents, and so and it sounds like instilled a great work ethic with you from an early age. And we're here at the Do More Good Conference, and I know you guys are a B Corp. So kind of talk about that path to purpose. And is that, I feel like that was something that was super maybe undefined that became defined for you, and just walk us through that narrative.
So if you look at the history of the company, I think what we're doing now was really grown from seeds that were planted very early on by Brandon's parents, who were very generous, very community-minded, and always ran their business in a way that was a place people would want to work. So we have just taken that effort when we started and just tried to build upon that. And it was really, Dacos has always been a generous company, but when we think about it, outside of the being a great place to work, our giving to the community was very reactionary. So if someone came and asked for a a sponsorship or a pledge or what, you know, pretty much mm-hmm. you were probably going to get something from us because we just felt like that was our responsibility as a good community partner.
Yeah.
But about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, maybe longer, we kind of got to the point where we had hit a lot of milestones. We had, you know, kind of arrived in some ways. It's got a new facility that we moved into. We had, you know, met some goals, and yeah. it was almost a time of like, what do we do next? And at the same time, Brandon and I serve as the fund advisory committee for a donor advice fund called the Connie Fund, which his mom set up before she died to fund youth initiatives in Northeast Nebraska. And we were doing some really cool stuff with the Connie Fund that was very strategic and making a big impact. So we were seeing rewards from that. And there was a series of events, which we could spend a long time talking about, but I'll just skip over, that led to us really kind of having this moment of, oh my gosh, we have this amazing asset in our company. What could we do to sort of double down on those efforts and maybe not be reactionary, but be purposeful? Mm-hmm. And so at that time, we changed the entire purpose statement of our business to be DACOs exist to do good and be good. And so then it was a series of conversations and debates and questions about what does that look like in reality. And mm-hmm. so that's what we spent the last 4 years figuring out is, okay, if that's your purpose, what are all the ways that you live that? And we are 100% about being that. So that affects everything you do. So that's a little bit about how we got to today.
I think when we started down that path, we really did think of it as just sort of giving more money, right? It was sort of, that was the initial conversation was, hey, we should give more money. You know, we've been blessed financially in other ways. It's let's increase the return on that. But then that's where you start. But then you go on this journey, and you know, we spent the last 4 years. I wouldn't say we spent the last 4 years figuring out, because that implies we've gotten to some level of certainty or conclusion. We've been on this journey for 4 years, and if we say that we exist to do good and be good, what does that really mean in a business setting? And what are the effects of that? And how do you look at everything you do from a business point of view and say, is this impacting the world in a good way or in a bad way? Is this impacting our community in a good way and bad way? Is this impacting our customers in a good way or bad way? And is it impacting the people who work here in a good way or bad way?
And that's what it's all about, right? Like just leaving the world in a better place than we found it. So let's unpack that a little bit though, right? So when you guys are talking about doing good as an organization, what does that look like for you? Like what are the things that are like motivating you or are you focused on? Like what's that purpose? What are you guys doing in the community?
I like the tagging. Tag your
We need to adopt cues. That.
Yeah.
Your turn. So I think, you know, the way we've approached it is that, you know, there are three parts, I think, that have become really critical pieces for us, that all this work is employee driven, that it's not Brandon and Tammy Day saying, all right, everyone, here's what we're going to do, that it's saying, hey, everybody, what do we care about? How do we want to make a difference? And what does that look like? Mm-hmm. The second part is, and this is a common phrase in conscious capitalism, but operating from more of a stakeholder model. Mm-hmm. So when we make decisions, we run those through the rubric of, is it good for the company? Is it good for our customers? Is it good for our employees? And is it good for our community? And if the answer is no to any of those, then that decision either gets revised or it doesn't happen, because we will not do anything that puts any of those at risk. So there's an integral connection between those four stakeholders. And then the other element I think Brandon touched on is that this is about 100% of everything we do. So then you have to figure out what does that look like. So operating from those, you know, three tenets, our employees have created a vision for the things that they care about and want to invest in the community, and then in their families and themselves. So when we talk about investing in employees, it's beyond what a person would think of as normal benefits. So how does, you know, their work-life balance get better, the quality of life, their financial success and sustainability, those kinds of things, in addition to being a fun, great place to work. And then in the community, they've decided that there are four areas that they're really jazzed about: youth development, leadership capacity, technology that helps improve lives. And then we work a lot in the Department of Defense space. So serving those who serve, so military, families, police, fire, rescue. So they as a group, decided this is what we care about and we're going to move forward in those areas.
So how did you get like a group? Did you just kind of let people raise their hand or talk about that process of this group or team that made some of these pillar decisions to your business?
Well, it was really a process and it wasn't a group or team. It was the entire team.
Oh, wow.
And that was real important for us. So we shut
That's
down.
That's impressive.
We shut down the company.
For 3 hours, several times.
Yeah. And we brought everybody together and we said, okay, we want this to be something that you guys believe in and you want to do. We don't want to tell you what we think you should
right.
do. We want you to tell us what you think the company. Because in the end, you know, before we did this, it was always Tammy and I sort of deciding where to invest our money. And really what we're doing is we're sort of cutting out the middleman, because what was happening was they're doing all the great work that generates profits that we were sort of deciding how to invest. Now they're doing all the great work and they're deciding where to invest
That's
those
amazing.
Profits.
Mm-hmm.
And
what
so
what an ownership, right, that your team
right.
now has.
Well,
yes.
because, yeah, people own things that they actually really, truly help create, not like giving lip service to, oh, yeah, we let, you know, whatever. But like truly have their hands in the work. And they will tell you that it's awesome, but it's also super hard. And so while it's fun to give away money, it's not always really easy.
Right.
But what an amazing process for people to learn about the power of giving back and what that feels like. And mm-hmm. then hopefully they share that with other people. But
well, and inclusivity is such a powerful motivator, mm-hmm. right? And when you have people that are all like, marching to the same drum in the same direction, and they feel like there's a sense of ownership there.
Yeah. Like, and shared purpose.
Exactly, yep. right? Yep. Shared mm-hmm. purpose.
Yep. And when you know, so once we did that whole process with the company over many, many different
right.
sessions.
Which, can I just add, was facilitated in partnership with the Nebraska Community Foundation. So Greta mm-hmm. Leach from there came and worked with us over a series of many gatherings to kind of create this vision, and then from there sort of action steps around that. So I think it was important to have that piece.
And so now when we have those pieces in place, mm-hmm. and now there is a smaller group that actually looks at sort of different requests and things, but what they always talk about is they're not deciding for themselves what they think the best use of money is. They're deciding for what their coworkers all said they wanted to do, and how does this fit into that? And so when we do are able to make investments and give away money, and we get to talk about it at company meetings, everyone feels excited about it because they know this is what I said I wanted to do. This isn't like, you know, someone standing up and saying, hey, just wanted you to know the company is donating to this or that. They feel that connection to them, and they get thrilled and excited every time we do another round of investments and we get to, you know, talk about what we're doing and what the different projects are. And you can see the ownership and buy-in through that process.
Have you seen like any cascading effects from where like the team and the group is choosing, like, where are we going to invest this money? Where are we going to be doing good? But then like follow through, right? So like if they pick this cause, do you then see n number of your team members go and like volunteer time and get involved and like continue down that path? Is it like, have you seen anything? I'm just interested if you've seen anything like that.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of results around that. We
really?
Have a lot of people who have gotten involved in this effort because they work at Dacos, right?
Yeah.
And we give them this opportunity and to explore what that means. And they determine and decide they love doing that stuff. And so there's a after-school youth program that some of our people, we've done some investments in, and some of our people have gotten very involved with and are volunteer. We have lots of people who have joined sort of boards of organizations that we've given money to. We've started bringing in area nonprofit groups into the community to like our staff meetings and just have them talk about what they do and what they, you know, what their role is, because we're trying to expose everyone to all the opportunities. We want them to find something that speaks to them. And we have seen a bunch of people who have found that through this process, which is way more impactful than mm-hmm. any amount of money we're going to give.
Right.
That's amazing. So you guys are in a rural community, mm-hmm. and what has been your community's reaction? Because I'm sure this is a little bit of a different business mindset than maybe what people are used to. So maybe what was the initial reaction when you guys went down this path, and how has it kind of manifested?
I think it's interesting because most people don't even know really what we do because we have no local customers. So they're always like, I'm not quite sure what you do, but we hear you do all this. You know, we're always doing unusual things, but I think your story that you told yesterday was really relevant about the larger company that responded to what we were doing.
Oh, yeah. So we, you know, our efforts there have gotten, we have a great local newspaper in Norfolk, which is a great benefit to us. And they ran a story on sort of our efforts early on. And a few weeks later, we were approached by a friend of ours who owns a much larger, his family owns a much larger business in Norfolk. And he was giving us grief about the article. And he said, "You really made me look bad." And he went to tell us how one of his employees came up to him and said, "Hey, I saw that article about all the cool stuff Dacos is doing. Why don't we ever do anything like that?" Well, the truth is, that company is incredibly generous. They give magnitudes more charitably than we ever could dream of. And they do it all across the state. But it's being done by the owners and the upper management. And so you create this disconnect where this employee not only didn't feel like that was connection to them, they didn't even know about it. So I think that what we're hoping to do in our community, because it's a little different in a smaller community. People know more about what's going on. Yeah. They learn about those things easier.
I'm in Fort Calhoun, so I'm in a much smaller community than y'all. Yeah. So
we really want to inspire other business owners, not to do what we're doing, but to take a look at what we're doing and saying, is there something about that that speaks to me that maybe I can do in my business? Mm-hmm. And I almost get a little bit of grief from fellow business owners in the community because they're always like, "What are you guys doing now? Because I know I'm going to hear about it from my people. Why aren't we doing this?" And I tell them, "Well, you should be doing this. Yeah. You know, you should be."
Right.
And we see it, you know, in our hiring practices. We're very fortunate that we don't really have the trouble that a lot of business owners have finding quality people. We get great people to work for us. And it's because that when people come to work for us, they know they're coming to work for a company that's about more than profits. And they know that they're going to get to impact that good work that we're doing. And that's very powerful. And so when I am talking to other business owners, they're lamenting how hard it is to get people to work. And, you know, I say, I don't really have that problem. You know, we're very fortunate that we have all the great people that we need. And, you know, when we have an opening, we have 70, 80, 90 people apply for it. And most of them say, "I'm not really looking for work, but I've always thought if I had the chance to come work at Dacos because of all the cool stuff you do, I'd take advantage of it."
And that's not the reason why we did any of it. Those have sort of, I mean, we're pretty smart, but it was like, oh, look what's happening. Like, we had no idea this would be sort of a natural outcome. So I think sometimes people, I hope, would start out with the right intention, that it's the right thing to do for the community, for your employees, for the world at large, to try to make things better. And then those sort of outcomes will follow, like having people want to come and work at your place. I would be afraid if that was the only reason you did it, was to try to increase your hiring, you know, potential. But I think it's one of the outcomes of doing business differently.
Well, if the main motivator is like the outcome, people very quickly sniff that out because it's not genuine. It's not real, right? Like, there are some amazing presenters out there, but you can still, you know, call BS when you see it, right? Yeah. And so, like, if it's genuine and if it's real, that's very, very evident, in my opinion. And we've had some incredible conversations on this show that are very, very real, you know? And so,
and it's also, awesome. it's hard to do business this way. I mean, it's the best way to do business, and I'm a big proponent of it, but it's not the easiest way to run a business.
Right.
It's much easier if you just look at the bottom line and try to run it based on the bottom line. I mean, you know, you can measure dollars and cents and all that stuff. And so if you start down this path and you're not really committed to it, you're not doing it for the right reasons, you're soon going to hit a spot where you're going to have to make a tough decision, and you're going to have to show the people of your company, are you really about what you say you are about, or was this just the flavor of the month or something you used to get them in?
That's a super good point. Yeah. I think people might overlook that. I think they think that this is like an easy, like, oh, that's a really good, like, marketing bullet to put in your things, but it's...
Right.
Yep. I mean, when you get down to what it means to do good and be good, and that's what you want to live 100% all in, that's a challenge to run a business.
Well, we're in a call-out culture, right? Where it's very easy for people to call you on the carpet because of our access to social media and different things. And so if you're not being authentic to that moment and what you're saying, it's very easy then to kind of have that put in your face. And if you're not prepared to justify actions or decisions made, it gets real sticky for people.
And if you attract people to your company to come work there because they're attracted to that, and then you don't live that out, they are going to call you.
High turnover.
Yes, exactly.
I think when we first started, that was something that was really important to us, is how do we communicate that this is not a passing program or something extra we're doing, but this is who we are 100%. And so we had to put things in place that really helped us to say to the world, no, this is really who we are forever. Like, mm-hmm. this is not just a thing we're going to do for a while because it's cool and hip.
They're not just buzzwords on the wall.
Right. Exactly. Right. And then you have to continue to reiterate mm-hmm. that because people aren't used to that. And it was hard to say, no, this is just as important as all the other work that you do. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the community investment committee, that takes just as much priority as mm-hmm. your other work. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, huh. You know, that's a new concept for people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And we've really tried to set the message that this is long term. This is who we are as a company, and this is who we'll always be. One of the ways we did that we think is a little bit unusual, I haven't heard of a lot of other companies that have done this, is we take 0.5% of our revenue every month, and we put it into a permanent endowment fund. Okay, so a permanent endowment fund means that principal money will never ever be spent. That eventually it'll build up over time, and we will be able to use the interest off that mm-hmm. money to make investments in the community. And when we did that, we said, the reason we're doing this is that we want you to know the work you're doing here today, it's gonna help people in our community now, but it's also gonna start to build this endowment fund. And this endowment fund will be here forever. And if something happened, God forbid, and Dacos goes under 5 years from now, right? And there's no more Dacos, you'll know that your good work will still have an impact. Because 20 years from now, 50 years now, 100 years from now, there'll be this pot of money that you helped build that will be able to make a tremendous impact in the community. And it was a way for us to signal, this is what we mean about being all in all the time and doing things long term.
Straight up legacy.
Yeah. And there's so many ways to have impact in your community. And like, that's a new one. I definitely mm-hmm. haven't heard that. And I think that's really just smart and compelling. And then people will be able to point to that forever down the road.
And yeah.
Yeah. And it's really easy to do 0.5% of revenue. You can work that in easy, you know, and in addition to all the other stuff we do, we just take that little check and cut it each month and send it off and you don't notice it. But then over time, it builds up. Yeah. Yeah.
And as your revenues grow, then so do your contributions. So you're not hurting your other stakeholders. You're mm-hmm. working in tandem. So
I like it. Yeah. That's awesome. So I am going to transition us to lightning round. So basically, this is where, you know, we promote that we're going to have you guys on the show, and we give people the opportunity to submit questions that they want to know. So I'm going to dive into this one real quick. Here we go. Which of the grants you've given in the last 2 years through Dacos for Good would you say has been the most impactful, important to you, and why?
Well, I'm going to have to just speak for me because I don't know what other people would choose, but you were pointing at me, so I'm going to go with that. So we haven't been doing this very long. And so, you know, the people who make these grants, they're not trained in philanthropy. That's not what they do. So we have framed this all as an experiment to try to figure out how can we have the greatest impact with the things we're doing and what works for us and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. So we've tried lots of different things and people have learned and grown along the way. And just recently, they did something that I thought was really cool. There were a group of organizations who serve youth in Northeast Nebraska who said, we want to help youth put on a youth summit that's created by students. It's led by students. And our committee thought, oh, that really fits with what we're about, leadership, youth development, all of that.
Right.
But what they did that I loved is that they partnered with some other funders and said, you know, I think this group had asked for $3,000 or something. And in the end, we're able to package about $15,000 for 2 years so that this organization's efforts could have some time to build and sort of show viability so that mm-hmm. then they could go out and raise funds from other community entities. So they were providing a little bit of seed money and trying to figure out how to be in partnership with other people. And so to me, that was really cool. Plus then 250 kids came together to hear all of these great speakers and breakout sessions. And it was totally led and created by youth. So the thing was really neat, but also the way that they went about doing it, which to me showed that they had really been growing in their understanding of how to have a broad impact. So that's
awesome.
Mine. Do you have
that's
one?
Awesome.
Well, the one I would say is one we did just very recently. It was really a series of them. So what the committee said is, you know, we're about youth, right? We talk about youth. Why don't we go out and ask youth how we should spend this money? So we actually went out and spread the word that we have money to give to youth in Northeast Nebraska who want to do something charitable for their community. And so we got a whole series of grant requests from that ranging from a couple hundred dollars to one that was like $300,000 right. or something, you know. But it was awesome because it was what the kids wanted.
Yeah.
And so we were able to grant out a bunch of those and do that. And you know, to me, that what it's hopefully is sending the message to those kids are there are people in this community who care about your opinion mm-hmm. and want to support you in your efforts and want to encourage you in those efforts. And so whatever the project is less important to me than sending that message.
A common theme on this show, we talk a lot about like definitive moments, right? And we've had the opportunity to talk about that with a lot of people. And I think what you're explaining right now, when you're working with these kids and you're getting them to think that way, which is different than the normal way you would look at a thing, like for some of those kids, that could be the definitive moment that could shift their perspective, mm-hmm. that changes the way they look at the world and sends them down this different path to doing good.
Yep.
I think that that's incredible.
And if they aren't being raised in an environment right. to think that way, or just haven't had that type of an opportunity in front of them before, it's
huge.
And I think from a rural perspective, yeah. I think one of the real opportunities we've missed in talking about how do we encourage kids to move back home, right? We talk mm-hmm. about different aspects of it, you know, the quiet lifestyle, the good schools, the safety, all that stuff. Where I think we have an opportunity we miss is say, look, you know, you're going to get to this point in your life where making an impact is really important to you. And you can make an impact anywhere, but you can make an impact easier, greater in a smaller community.
So true.
And so if we show them this at a young age, and they hit that point in their life where they're like, I want to do something, you know, I want to leave yeah. a mark. I remember when I was a kid, I was able to do cool stuff in Norfolk, you know, and I was only 10 years old and you know, we could do stuff and change. Imagine what I could do now as a fully grown adult with my own family and that. Right. So I think it's really an opportunity to try to demonstrate that exists in rural Nebraska and rural America and encourage more people, when, if that's important to them, to consider that opportunity.
Yeah, I love that perspective. I think that's great. This has been amazing, you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today and coming on the show. For our listeners out there who are interested in just learning more about you, how do they find you online? Like, do you have, like, what's the website address? Are we on social media? Hit us with a little bit of that.
Sure. Our website address is daycos.com, daycos.com. And we post most of our sort of activities on Facebook too. So we have Daycos Facebook page. You can like that.
Awesome.
And on Twitter at Daycos. So
very good. Well, this was amazing.
Thank you.
Definitely
you.
Made for a good day.
Hey,
I see what you did there.
Look at that.
It's a thing.
Justin is cringing. Yeah. He's going to cut that.
Most of my jokes are not good.
Dad working jokes. On that.
But seriously, thank you guys so much. This was an amazing conversation. We really appreciate you guys taking the time to just
thank
sit
you
down
for
and
us.
Talk to us today.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Whoa, what do you think?
Well, as someone who lives in a small town, not too far from where they're based, I think they bring an interesting conversation. Most people think you have to live in a very liberal community to be a part of businesses that actually care about their communities or impact, or they think it's a liberal thing versus a conservative thing. And what I loved about this conversation is I think it proves definitively that it doesn't matter where you're at mm-hmm. or the size of your community to be a part of an organization does impact, and that regardless of where you're based, there's nonprofits, there's people that need supported and want to feel drawn in with their community. And I think it just opens doors and hopefully takes people that think that they can't do these things and makes them think differently.
They were very very real, right?
Yes.
First of all, but like what they're doing with educating and empowering the youth, that piece was huge for me. Like the opportunity to just shift perspective a little bit, even if it's like one kid. It just takes that one little dude to go off and do the thing.
I know. That right? could be the next Bill Gates.
It's huge.
Or Warren.
I'm all about it. This was fun.
Yeah.
I super enjoyed this
Thanks.
One. Thank you guys all for tuning in. Make sure that you connect with us on social media and let us know if you guys have comments, questions, ideas, people that you think we should be talking to. Or like you said in our last episode, if you're somebody that's driven to do good in the world and you're making impact, we want to know about it. So make sure that you shoot us a note and... yeah, we'll connect and go from there.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we will catch you on the flip.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%. APR, 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. 8.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. I've got great news. Mortgage interest rates have dropped. So if you're thinking about buying a home, right now is the time to lock that low rate, even before you find the home of your dreams. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. I've got great news. Mortgage interest rates have dropped. So if you're thinking about buying a home, right now is the time to lock that low rate, even before you find the home of your dreams. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.